Call this meeting to go order. This is the 14th of November, Clark County Parks Board. I'd like to start this meeting off with just taking a moment to remember Bud Van Cleve, who we lost this last week, and so let's start with that. Okay, let's start. There is a card going around. If you haven't signed it, please grab it before it's through. And I think it's appropriate that we're setting up a room named after that. So we're missing. He was certainly a strong and healthy leader for us for many, many, many years. I know I was missing. Bill, you got anything you want to
say? Bud Van Cleve has just been such an icon for the community for so many years and so invested in so many areas. You know, after his retirement for the last 20 years, he's just championed all of his different causes, and he's just been so dedicated all over the past few years. And he actually attended our last two Parks Advisory Board meetings, and it was a shock to all of us when he passed away unexpectedly, and so we will sincerely miss him. Just so everybody knows, that there is a service being held on the 22nd of this month.
22nd.
Right next door here at Kingsway, between 11 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's on a Saturday, so I definitely plan to attend.
You know what time that? Oh, can you just send us a note out on that?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Do you know what time the memorial itself is? Because it said 11 to 4.
11 o'clock to 4 o'clock. I believe the service is between 11 o'clock and 12:30, and after that, then everybody gathers into a bigger room just to share comments about that.
So Kelly stepped away along with speaking of great men. I don't know how many of you are aware that our own Kelly is Man of the Year for Intertwine.
Nice.
So we signed a card in your honor, and we wish that we could all be there to toot your horn for you, because I know you don't do that yourself. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
We've got looks like about 15 signatures here for people that want to speak in our public comment period. And I'm not sure how. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, we've got three sign-ins here. So I'd like to get started with that. Amanda? You want to come up to the front? That's okay. Come on up here, I'll bring you. Now, this is the public period time, so we're not going to have any conversation other than just listening.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Well, you have 3 minutes apiece, or if, unless there's anybody else, it can be between the three of you. State your name and address to start.
An address?
No, an address. For the record. For recording.
Okay. My name is Nadia Cutter, and I guess I'm here to talk about Steve Kirk.
And I'm Amanda Smith, and we all have three teachers in the table.
I'm Heidi Jessen.
So I'm just going to read what we wrote. I am a teacher at Union High School who, along with my coworkers and so many others, are mourning the passing of Lyman Stoll. Lyman graduated from Union High School this past June of 2014, and as his obituary states, Lyman Dane Stoll, El Capitola, was one of the most
heart that never ran out of love. His future was bright because he always reached.
Always reached for the stars. His ability to make everyone feel like he was their best friend is a quality most will remember about him. I can't remember ever hearing London's name without simultaneously thinking about skateboarding. He was an extremely accomplished skateboarder, and being a boarder became a significant aspect of his personality. Since the creation of the Extreme Sports Arena in 2007, London and his friends have lived at the park, as if it had been one of the clubhouses in their backyard. It's been their safe place, somewhere where they could let off steam, skate away worries, celebrate, or find a new friend. On August 16, 2014, this park became a place for the family and friends to find solace and connection with London, even though he is one less board on the rail. I'm here as a representative for his friends, students, and community members here today to propose changing the Pacific Park, the Extreme Sports Area, to the London Stoll Memorial Skate Park as a way to honor the life and memory of London, affectionately known as LCAT and Lala. Following any tragedy or significant life event, those involved are struck with the many emotions, individually and collectively they search for means for expressing those feelings. Without having gone through a similar process before, one might not think about building an official memorial or suggest naming something in somebody's honor. But renaming the skate park, the London Stoll Memorial Skate Park, you wouldn't be helping to facilitate the importance of a positive and appropriate memorialization. I see this as an important lesson for everyone involved and a learning experience beyond the walls of our school. Our students and community members have been using the tools they know to express their love and pain for their friend. Unfortunately, this form of expression has not been considered appropriate by all. It is important for everyone to learn how to get what he or she wants the proper way. This is an opportunity for the county and community, friends and family, to work together and within the system to teach young people how to take the appropriate steps. After discussing the issue with Doug Keller and Mr. Bjork at Park and Rec, we concluded that naming the park after London Stoll would be an obvious and appropriate way to commemorate his young life. The renaming is plausible with the park board's help. It is only fitting that the community memorial service for London was held at the very park in the immediate days following the accident. Literally hundreds of people attended to speak, laugh, cry, and skate. No other location will ever be considered by those who knew London best. By creating London Stoll Memorial Skate Park, we can make his name synonymous with skating, something he always wanted, while also creating an opportunity for collaboration beyond tragedy and memorializing. London, his friends, and the fellow skateboarders learned a lot about life hanging out and skating together. They got an early peek into physics, mastering the intricacies of park curves, and they found support and comfort in each other. The skate park was a hideaway when life was tough, but also a pedestal to showcase their latest and best moves. London was the type of guy that touched many and befriended all, and his memory can serve to teach lessons beyond the ramp and the rails, reaching more people than he ever had a chance to himself as a son, a brother, a student, and a friend. Today we invite you to consider a proposal to change the name of the park and join us in remembering and honoring such an inspiring young man by allowing his memory to inspire others for generations. Thank you for your time. He really was one of the most amazing kids I've ever had, and I've had over 1,000 probably over the years. He's one of those kids that everybody knew. He was always kind, he was always caring. He had a hard time in school, but always tried and did his best, and he inspired all of us to be better people.
These are some of London's closest friends who have already graduated. As a way to kind of put forth a good faith effort to make this happen, there's been some controversy with how they're memorializing London. They have agreed to sign a pledge or a promise to change their ways, take care of the park, and refrain from the community garbage, destruction, that kind of thing. Just to get you guys to kind of see how important that is to them. Really, that's the tool that they know, and that's the tool they've been using to make sure that people remember London. And they feel satisfied that if the park has changed that way, that would be enough.
And there are more students, of course, in other that are going, that have promised to find ways to make it here today.
Yeah, they're all really classical today. So we're representing many students.
Well, thank you for reading this out loud and sharing your experience with us. And as I talked to Nadia on the phone, on the agenda today, we are actually looking at the commemorative naming policy, which has to be approved. If the naming policy goes past today, then it goes to the Board of County Commissioners next Tuesday. But one thing we have to do today on the naming policy is discuss it, and if it is approved by this board, then it goes forward. If there is more work to be done on this, then it might be a little bit longer time before it does go from the Board of County Commissioners. So that's what our purpose is today. So, but thank you so much.
We don't. We're not sure if we're going to be able to take it to them yet today because there's so many things on the plate here. My guess is we'll know at the end of the day if you want to call Bill on Monday and see whether we pulled it or not. There's a lot more to the policy than we realize, and all we are is advisors to the commission. So we will make advice, advising them what we think should go forward, and that policy really has to be in place before we act on this. We're not prepared today. We wanted to hear just what your thoughts were and get a better feel for us. We appreciate your time today. I'm glad you done. All of you show a lot of support. That's the best thing you can do on your part.
Yeah, so the request is extremely timely in that we're finalizing the policy part. This might be a little bit early in the piece, but be the first one to go through on the policy.
That's true, yes.
What's a Maverick in
any way? Yeah. Very good.
Do you want the copy of our...
Sure.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you all for coming.
I think we got that in the
Yes.
I'm making sure she needs a long round.
Thank you so much.
Adam, I guess he's you the other way. And you can get it there. Well, the names over there. Oh, good.
Adam, I can send all of this to you.
I'll do it better. No, you're fine.
No, he's
going to
reach out to you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Steve, do you want to join us at the table? Something about having you behind me that makes me nervous. Okay, let's go into the roll call, and I believe we have a quorum here of voting members, so we can act today. It'll be known that Marcia called this morning and said she had pneumonia and she wouldn't be able to be here today. She felt she better stay away from this. And Candace has a son who is having surgery today, so she wanted to make sure she could stay with him. So they both have excuses. And of course, Greg, we haven't seen yet.
Greg, the city's flying in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
He's going to try to be here, but he said he might be late.
Oh,
I understand.
Okay, so, but it ought to be noted that we do have a quorum to take care of business today. Review and adoption of minutes is next. And so let's start with the September 12th minutes. We'll go through these individually. Anybody have any corrections or comments on September 12th?
I think at the first part, the top part, Adam, let me get it right. The we'll call this stuff in the orange doesn't need to be sucked out.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be there.
Great.
And then the minutes, because it was our first meeting, there's just no comment about the previous minutes.
Okay.
Because there was no previous meeting.
Okay.
And then the agenda was adopted as presented. So this was just kind of an instructional view, but that's what goes there. Okay.
Great.
That's what I had on those.
All right. So then I fix it and get it back to you?
Yes.
Okay.
So all the changes you make today, just email those to me and those will become the final minutes. Yeah. And those will be posted.
And we'll sign off on those next meeting for that. If everybody adopts.
Actually, can't we just move to adopt as correct?
We can adopt.
As amended.
Yeah. As amended, yeah, but we'll sign it. Or
sign it, actual signage.
I'm just saying the signing will happen next month.
Yeah. But the motion can be there to adopt as amended.
So we're looking for a motion to adopt.
We have a couple of
1 second. Yeah. I believe at this meeting on September 12th, you approved the minutes from August 8th.
Did we have a meeting in August?
Yes.
Oh, well, bad
those
meeting.
Those are the ones that I did the notes.
Oh, the ones you did. Oh, okay. I stand corrected on my correction. So they were approved.
As amended, I made one correction. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, up on the, under County Staff President, there's a name correction here. It's Keith Henderson, not Heather.
Okay.
Thank you.
He's going to beer back there, so.
Hey, equal rights, no shave November. I don't know.
So, John, did you make a motion to?
I did. It wasn't seconded, so it can.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Second.
Well, no, you don't want to second the one I just did because I made that before the amended.
Before the other amended. Oh.
So let me restate my motion. We'll do it that way.
Yes. Make light.
Move to approve the minutes as amended by all.
There you go.
Second.
Here's second. You got a second. That all approved.
Eight.
Okay.
And that's, you're specifically talking about only September.
That's all we've got so far.
Just the
okay, that was for the September 12th meeting. Now we'll move to the October 10th meeting. Any corrections or amendments to the minutes?
I had the same.
Great.
About the deferred, the minutes were deferred at this meeting. And then the same on the agenda wasn't adopted. But there was this right here that I think is critical. On the motion by Marcia Keene and seconded by John Spencer, where this motion includes the cost of maintenance, instead of being on the discussion, needs to go up and be included in the actual motion, because it was part of the motion.
Isn't that part of the motion?
No, this is just, you've got to put it under discussion. And that was just
correct. Additional maintenance be included.
So that this motion includes the cost of maintenance.
Herbert, did it include the cost of maintenance? I
went back and listened to the recording on it.
Okay.
To make sure that my.
Okay. Because for some reason I thought she pulled that at the end. of the note.
No, okay. It was actually added at the end.
Okay.
So you go back and listen, too.
I'm good. I trust you.
And I think that was it on that. Great job, though.
I've got a correction here as well. Under the meeting notes, it starts off at the 1 p.m. to 1:45 p.m. It says CCPRAB. It should just be CCPAB.
And then we had a discussion on that about how we all thought the R for recreation ought to be in there, and then there was the whole thing of, yeah, but it's not there.
I know we have that in the comprehensive plan, but as far as the actual Parks Advisory Board.
Yeah, what we're all about.
Yeah.
And we all know we're about play.
Yes.
Whatever term you put to it.
So do I hear...
Actually, I got a couple more here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Under the 1:46 to 1:49 p.m., Bratton Canyon is B-R-A-T-T-O-N. It's Gail Bronner. Her name is spelled G-A-I-L.
Like my worst nightmare. All people editing.
Trying to read their names when you write them on the sign-in.
Oh, yeah.
Under new business.
Oh, awesome.
That's the page 3. This is a bill discussion about memorial plaque policy, and it should be $150 for the papers for the policy. It's $100 shown.
That was a page 3?
Yes, of the October 10th meeting.
Oh, October 10th?
Yes.
Okay. Then I have, is that it?
That's it. So
I think we should, as opposed to saying, and I know this is picky, but I think it's appropriate we do this, as opposed to saying we approve these things, we support. They're only advisory. We're not,
right.
We don't approve anything. We advise the commissioners on these. So I'd like to suggest we change the word from approve to support or
Brewing Club
in both motions.
Oh, the disc golf?
The disc golf.
The house boat thing?
And the Vancouver Lake Brewing Club. So when we put the words in, we are
supporting
or endorsing, but not approving.
Good move.
Good point.
Yes.
I concur.
So do I hear a motion on that one?
Move to accept the minutes as amended.
As amended.
Second.
Second. Aye. Done.
Well, this is supposed to be January 1, 2015 in the wind-up transfer thing. Or is that back a year?
The transfer agreement?
Yeah.
What were you
about? Last wind-up transfer agreement. As of January 1, 2014, city needs to transfer $12 million to, or is that in 2015?
Are you still reading the motion?
Yes.
I didn't see the motion.
Oh, yes.
Move to accept the minutes amended.
Thank you.
We have another correction, though.
Oh.
Sorry. You move so fast, Kelly. My brain doesn't work like you do. I wish I worked so fast. But is it because it was 2014 is when it happened, but it just hasn't happened?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, it was due on the 2014.
It was due, January.
Yeah, it was due 2014.
Wind-up agreement.
And that's why it was stated as such, I believe.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, the dissolution occurs actually the very last day of 2013.
Okay.
So
now if we were, I didn't think we were wound up yet.
Okay, are we now?
Later next week.
I think we can use the motion we already have.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Then.
Okay, why don't we move to the minutes for...
Oh, we need to vote.
All in favor?
No, they already did.
Oh, we already did.
We did? Just oh, I did. Okay.
Good enough.
Where was I?
I was in favor either way.
Okay.
Uh-huh, all in favor.
Okay, for this next one, it's Wednesday, October 15th, not Friday, October 15th. And I was in attendance on that one. So my name needs to be included as the...
So it's Monday the 14th?
No, Wednesday the 15th.
Is it a Friday, October 15th?
In the title.
In the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it on here, dear.
October 15th. Oh, it's Wednesday.
And why don't we label this one as a special meeting because it wasn't a regular meeting? Is that the word we want to use, special meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah, special work session. Yes. Okay. Yeah, the
call to work session. Except you can't approve anything in a work session. Do we make any actual votes?
I have a couple of corrections. Yeah. It was Melania Allen.
It's got to be a special meeting.
Who was a citizen who spoke, and she and her husband Terry Allen was also present. And then these are the same agenda adopted in the meeting.
Do I hear a motion?
Any other revisions?
On the 15th?
Yeah.
On the 15th.
The under citizens present?
Oh, I got that. You didn't hear.
Oh, no.
Melania Allen, and yeah. Then Terry was here with her.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I got
sorry,
that.
I was.
That's okay. I was maybe mumbling.
Jennifer, I don't want to leave you out this time. Do you have anything on this one?
Not on this one.
Oh. Did you correct conservation?
I didn't hear.
I didn't even know.
Under staff, county
under
staff president.
County staff president, Gene Akers, it's conservation.
Yeah, it's conservation techniques. And I'm
not conservative. Yeah.
Well. Do you think you can get away
anomaly
with it that easy?
Anomaly.
<It's collective. laughs>
Move to accept minutes as amended.
Second.
Good job. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? They're approved.
And thank you, Adam, for doing all that. I know it's
great pain. Job. Yes, not easy.
Why do you think I was so happy when he agreed to do this?
Absolutely.
And he says, well, with that, thank you.
But it's good to get these down, and that's what will be in the records.
John, do you primary that?
I seconded.
You second. Barbara, you
primary. Just trying to move us right along.
Yeah. Okay. I think with that completed, we can move into unfinished business. And I'm going to turn it over to Bill for this section.
Okay, thank
Bill,
you, Kelly.
Can you go through these? And
appreciate it. Since our very first Parks Advisory Board meeting, I've always intended to put Eric Christensen, who's our Parks Facility Scheduler, onto the agenda. And it always seems like we ran out of time. So I decided to push him right up front and let him lead.
We appreciate
you've been
being
patient.
Been so patient. Oh. No, and we kind of covered this briefly at the end of a couple meetings ago. It's just to give you an update where we are reservations-wise. As you know, we've implemented a new reservation software through active.com. The software is called ActiveNet. Spent about February and March, most of January, February, and March, getting it ready, putting it through its paces, testing it, so on and so forth. We went live April 1st, and so to date we've taken approximately a little over 1,400 reservations or permits, however you want to look at it. Online reservations were about 37%. In talking to ActiveNet, the average rate is about 30%. So we're doing okay. So 37% of our total number of reservations have been made online, which is huge when it's such a small staff to have a third of your business through the website. That helps us out quite a bit. Got about 1,900 customers, accounts created, or organizational accounts created. It's a lot of include our soccer groups,
When you use the term accounts created, is do I have to create an account
yes.
before I make a reservation
yes,
then?
Yes, you do.
Do I just have to do that once?
If you want to reserve shelter, either online or in person, you have to create your account in the system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you only have to do it once. And then as far as picnic shelters, you can imagine, those are pretty busy in Louisville Park, as you know, is our most popular shows there. And you've taken, you've opened up reservations for 2015. So for all of 2014 and what we received for 2015, 860 of those reservations are in Louisville Park.
How many shelters 13, do we have now?
21 that we have in our reservation system.
21
And there's another, yes, 21 shelters. And there's another 5 or 6 that are in community parks that are non-reserved, that are non-reservable. And then those last 3 numbers just kind of show total days and hours that we've reserved in all parks and all facilities and the picnic shelters. So we're staying busy.
Sounds like to me we could be looking at adding shelters.
Well, one thing we've kicked around is there a need somewhere for maybe more shelters? The east side of town, we only have Captain William Carter Park as a reservable shelter. Pacific has a shelter that we get a few calls. We tend to get quite a bit of a few calls on. And then Hazeldale has a couple of great shelters. And then a few other community parks have great shelters.
After we've had a year of doing this, in other words, next April, can we have you come back to us and show us on a map where all of our reservations, where all of our shelters are within a county map, and how often they're used, I mean, reserved, so we can get a feel for how that looks, see if we do need them on the east side. I don't want to see this before June or July next year, because you need to accumulate a year's worth of stuff.
So maybe like August?
Yeah, perfect. August, September of next year.
September.
But bring it back to a map kind of thing, so we can see
it. Yeah, we can put something together on GIS that shows.
That's assuming they haven't fired us all.
Is there a price to reserve the shelters?
Is there a price difference?
To reserve them?
Yes,
at all.
To reserve them, the fees are $25 per day, $50 per day, or $100 per day. That's depending basically on the size of the shelter.
So do you know how much roughly you've brought in with all the reservations?
We're probably in the range of $50,000 to $60,000 annually, is what we do.
And that's basically all going back into maintenance, or where's that going towards? What's the money used toward, or does it just go into general fund, general maintenance? Like?
Does it go to Parks and Rec at all?
Yeah.
It goes into the general fund that helps us.
General fund, like general fund for parks.
The monies that are collected in the general fund go back to the general fund. There's the monies that are collected in the Metropolitan Parks and Street Parks go to
Well, within that calendar, you're going to, or not calendar, that map you're going to build, put the shelter and then the size or what your revenue is on that one, so you can then get to it.
And so to go along with what Kelly's saying, I'd be curious to know whether the morphs, whether the price differencing affects
popularity.
Yeah.
Well, anecdotally, I can tell you that our most popular shelter is Central. Is the Central shelter at Louisville Park, and that's our most expensive shelter. It's $100. So it's huge. It can accommodate a couple hundred people. It's got water. It's got power. It's got a couple of grills. It's got a stove. Mostly, we get a lot of weddings that are held there.
$100 for a venue is great.
What's that?
That's incredible.
I said
$100
for a venue is great.
For the day. That's for the day. The parks open 7 a.m. to dusk.
Wow.
$5,000 a day for Summit Grove. To,
yes.
So, you know.
And the shelters at Vancouver Lake. And both shelters at Vancouver Lake. And then one of the shelters at Frenchman's Bar, they are also $100 for the day. And those are probably 4 of our most popular shelters. So the fee doesn't necessarily discourage people. It's more, the questions we get are the amenities mostly. Does it have water? Does it have power? Is it close to a river? Is it close to a playground? All these kind of matters.
Yeah, ADA access is available as well.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Proximity to the parking lot.
Well, I look forward to seeing what you come up with sure. next August. Can we put that on a particular schedule or something?
Yes.
The one thing that I'd like to point out as well is you can see the word permits is in here. And we're going to actually change that out with different terminology. It's going to be exclusive use reservations.
It's going to be what?
Instead of permits, we're going to call it exclusive use reservations. So you're going to see that on our county website. In fact, I think that's already there. The only place I think that we're going to be using the word permit in the future is if we're possibly referencing the use of alcohol in parks. So that might actually remain permit.
It's better to say that.
Everything else, when it comes to reservations, it should be exclusive use reservations. So you'll see that in terminology.
That's
a more appropriate
that's
one.
That's more appropriate because that's the whole purpose of paying because
that's
you
correct.
Are getting, that's the only thing you're really getting when you
that's right.
when
God
you do
bless
that.
You.
That's right. So it's actually more pointed.
That's a good point. I like that.
Commit to exclusive use, you said?
Exclusive use reservations.
That's all I have for you. Any other questions? Happy to answer them.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you bringing this forward. And it's pretty impressive numbers considering this
Absolutely.
Is, this is
it's a couple
November.
Months in. Yeah.
Now it's April, and you've already got these numbers counted.
We started reservations for 2015 on October 1st. So now we're 365 days in advance. So that's great. That helps us out quite a bit for planning. We've already identified a few trouble spots for 2015.
Well, when you do your report, you'll be able to pull together a whole lot of different statistics for us at the end of your year.
So your numbers include, you said that 30% went through this mechanized system.
37%.
But your numbers include the 70% that didn't go, right? So these numbers, okay. I'm just verifying.
So of the 1,438 reservations that were issued, 532 were either basically done by themselves.
Those are 70% of people calling in, and they
right.
still have to make the reservation.
Yeah. By in.
Right. And the average is about 30%. And instead of basis of comparison, I contacted the city of Vancouver to see what they had done. For 2013, they were at 26%.
Oh.
And for 2014, and this was through the middle of September, they were at about 22%.
So what's the inhibitor from using the online? Why do people still call you?
They're used to
it. Well, yeah, I know. They use
it. Level of technology savvy.
Okay.
Comfortability with technology.
So there isn't something...
They they'd rather do it on the phone, or they just don't trust technology or security.
Trust issues, yeah.
Some folks don't even have computers. So that happens quite a bit.
Okay. Are you going to set a goal or a standard for what you'd like to reach for that particular segment?
We have not really discussed that. It's something I would talk to our provider with and see if they have a national average, which is about 30%. And the highest they've seen is 60%. And that was a city of Carlsbad, and what they did is they put kiosks in all of the community centers. Just walk right up, much like you're going to the airport or something. Check in.
Great idea. No, this is great. It wasn't a criticism on that. I think these are great numbers, but I was just curious why.
It's good to have a target, right? I just don't know what that number would be.
Yeah, well, I think that's it too. Jennifer?
So we haven't yet gone to an online system at our school district, but I'm surprised by 37% because we are going to just require 100%. So that's kind of discouraging to think that
Well, yeah, but he's more in the service business.
Yeah, well, we do. We have more reservations than the county. We have every classroom of every school of every field that we rent.
No, I mean, he's measured by customer satisfaction. Whereas the schools don't have to worry about somebody saying,
when you put them on the bond, you'll remember.
But
is it hard then, really, to get people to do the online piece?
Yeah.
I believe it is.
I think a lot of the people, a lot of the calls we got were, like, if someone started out online, and then they either had a question or maybe what they wanted.
You were probably down to about 32-33% initially, as people have learned about it and have become more comfortable with how to basically interface
external website, that number's gone up. But I would never expect to be at 100%. It just hasn't been my experience through the years of people looking back. And just one kind of caveat with sitting in people, their sample size is much larger than ours. So they're, you know, have to close 5,000-6,000 on renovation per year versus us. The larger you get, the harder it becomes to achieve that.
Well, I don't think it'll ever be 100%, but it certainly could be up in the 80s as well at some point in time. Especially if we really focus in on it. So don't give up on your 100%.
Yeah. The secret there is you make wait time.
Anyway, we'll talk
where
about
it's easier to go online than to wait.
In August of next year, if you'll have a year's worth of data to go with.
It was one of the phone company objectives.
So, question for you. Is it even, can we even ask to do, is there a way to do a cost analysis? I mean, is there between the cost of the website, hosting the website, and is it basically, is it money, is it generating income? Is it generating revenue?
$50,000 to $60,000.
Well, yeah, but it's just salary. His salary.
But you can't track it manually.
Can't?
You have. We have. Yeah, I mean, you'll get to a point where you end up writing your own Excel, and you'll drive yourself crazy. You have to have some kind of an interface to put all this stuff into. You'll never get it right and straight, and you won't be able to accounts payable and collection and just you. So you're either going to pay for a service online, or you're going to pay for an annual maintenance fee to continue to get the software approved.
It's software as a service for us. So we get charged for every transaction.
Right. Like 2% or 1% of the funds
so
that come in.
Transaction. But if we don't use it, we don't get charged for it.
Correct.
But our time is money. In your staff number, if you had to put in the total number of requests, you'd have to afford it.
Yeah. And we do also. The 2% or the service fee, we take that. We don't pass that on to the customer. That was a decision that we made. We just can't. It's essentially a cost of doing business.
Yeah.
You don't want to pass that on to the customer. They see, $50 for shelter, and then when they pay for it, it's $52.
Any other questions?
Yeah, this is the very first year of the new reservation system, and of course we started out this year by allowing folks to walk in as they have in years past, on an opening day, if you will. So by going to the 365-day reservation system, I don't think we're going to see that big
that
crowd
pull,
coming.
Yeah.
And obviously, as folks get more familiar with the online reservation system, I think we fully expect these numbers to start creeping up a little bit.
Oh, they will.
So I would think that next year.
That's why I think next year in August we'll have a good feel for it. You'll not have a full year plus a couple of months of summertime to kind of get a feel for it.
Absolutely.
And then the fact you said August.
And Eric, of course, Eric's had several requests, to reserve shelters in our community parks, which we don't do. That's a first-come, first-served basis, So we got Fairgrounds, Orchards Park, and several other parks.
And that might be
park.
One we want to look at.
Hillsdale Park has always been pretty notorious for several weddings throughout the year. And folks really do want exclusive use of those shelters, but we haven't gone down that road right now or so far.
Well, there'll be some issues about that with the state funding too, so we have to be careful of that.
I was just going to say, in terms of looking at the 37%, comparing it to schools, going along, et cetera, that's a huge difference from the way these shelters for decades have been reserved.
Right.
So people have long standing traditions of we want for July 4th or whatever, family reunion. So it's huge that you put into the first year a system that's got 37%.
I think
so.
Amazing.
I would see that trajectory.
And we've actually got some feedback, from folks who actually wanted to go out and stand in line for 12 hours.
Well, that's annual tradition for
us
now.
Yes.
I remember those long lines.
Oh, my God.
It's like,
yeah.
That'd
be awful.
It's almost a competition. I think.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We look forward to hearing you next year.
Well, next up on the list is the updating of the commemorative park naming policy, and I know that we've been talking about these two policies for the first time, for quite a while now, for the past couple of months, and basically, these policies came over from that were created from Vancouver Clark Parks and Rec. In this case, this one I think was last updated in 2011. We wanted to bring this over to the county based on need. We've had requests, you know, for park renaming. As you recall, Gail Bronner came in and wanted to rename Bratton Canyon Park. And so that kind of spawned the need to go out and figure out the process of doing that. So which led us to phone up this policy and then bring it over to the county side so we can attach our name to this. And so with that, we really have not made any changes to the language itself. We did add a component to address the ability for sports leagues and nonprofit organizations to recognize sponsors not a temporary basis, but on a non-permanent basis. You'll see it under number 4, subset 13. That particular sentence we did add in there just to cover, and this was for the Vancouver Municipal Senior Softball League and for Miracle League to go out and actively engage in soliciting sponsors to build the two sports fields. And the intention there was to name components within the sports field or even the sports field itself on a 1-year, 2-year, 5-year basis based on the size of the donation. And they were very concerned about this language not being a part of the policy, so we did add that in there.
Well, I think that's a point. What I took from this, and basically I think we really need to go through this point by point, and I really want to put our time and effort into comp plan right now.
Yes.
And when I look at this, under two organizations affected, I believe it's every school district in the county, not just Evergreen and Vancouver, now that we're countywide.
Okay.
So I started there, and then when I went to looking at under policy 4.3, I read that and I thought that might not be the case. We might not want to encourage that memory name before a park. We might want to study a park name in advance, but I think sometimes pushing a name on a park before everything feels right is wrong. And we've done some good jobs in naming some parks. Barbara was talking to me about Chinook Park, which an excellent name for a park in this community. And then sometimes we get, you know, I always thought that you go back to when maps were developed back at homesteading periods of time, and you look and see if that particular property was a particular homestead for a family that may still be around.
Mm-hmm.
That almost should trump something of a name, just to throw a name at it. You know, there's kind of this whole thing as the community develops around, it ought to have something to do with our region and our leadership. And like, I'm very pleased this is Van Keys' room.
Yes.
I think that fits very well, but sometimes you get into a trap of putting a name on that 20 years from now they'll say, why was that name? And I always want to know why something's named what it was. I'm always looking at that and say, why that name? And so we've got to be really feel good about the name of everything we name from here forward. So as I look at this, it says, it seems like that 4.3 is backwards to me a little bit. What I'd like to do is take this one by one, not necessarily in a meeting, in our regular meetings, but if anybody's interested in looking at this thing as a subcommittee meeting and coming back to the whole group and then taking it to the commissioners, I'd be willing to take the time to do that. But unless everybody has really read this and feels very comfortable with it, it's too important to just rubber stamp it. And I do know, because I was involved in writing this thing, a lot of time has already been spent on this. But it's from a different point of view than we may have today.
Mm-hmm.
Just for instance, what you said about the sports stuff. A few years ago when we were working on this, it was almost heresy to name things, to almost have sports have sponsorship names on things. We were fighting that like it was the flag or something.
Right.
Well, there's a new day. And maybe we need to look at this from that standpoint. My recommendation on both this one and the next one is that we form a subcommittee and come back to the commission or the board with a recommendation of this. It may be only a few changes, it may be a lot of changes.
Okay. I'd like to ask, though, if we do form a subcommittee, that we do it in the nearer future than farther out. And so what we can do is we can pull this off of the for consent by the Board of County Commissioners.
Well, I was thinking 6 months, but maybe
6 months.
Because we've got the commission, we got the comp plan right now. We're really going to need to stay top on top of it. And I can't think of anything that's pressing in terms of a name right now.
We do have two right now, and when Gail Brunner came in regarding the Bratton County, she's been on me since about the beginning of this year. When we received the Bluebin Campground property from DNR, we wanted to get away from that title because we were not in the camping business. So at that time, this refers to 4.3, I believe at the time, was it the mayor or the director of Vancouver Park Parks, gave it a temporary name and that was based on the local geography for the most part. But and I think all of us thought that was just fine, but obviously the neighbors close by thought that Bratton Canyon is actually due west of where the park actually lies, and so they want to name it appropriately. So that's what actually spawned this. And of course, today, with a group of folks that just showed up wanting to name the skate park, that seems to be of some urgency as well. Yeah. So it's... I would think it'd be nice to, if we could, try to push
it up. Well, for instance, today's request, I think we ought to have within our guidelines and principles a year period of kind of getting the emotion calmed down before we name anything anyway. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't want to name something or change a name based on an emotional appeal. I want it to be a solid reason to do it. And so...
And I think along those lines, because my vision has changed a little bit. Jeff, you probably recall how emotionally attached we were to April. Well, she's still here, but to April. And how we really, our neighborhood wanted Chinook Park to be the April Massey Park. Because she's such a great lady. And that, of course, was kind of tossed back at us, that the Chinook was standing. And in retrospect, I'm very grateful that that occurred. Because... as dear as she is, and as much as I appreciate everything she's done, on top of it, her being a great friend of mine, is the fact that, as wonderful as she is, and as much as she's done for us, 20 years from now, people will say, who was April Massey? It will have no true significance. You get my drift? And yet the Chinook tribe, after meeting, I think his name was Sam?
Sam Robinson.
Yeah. So... fitting to be the Chinook Park, that it actually turned out that us being told no and going off in a little huff, you know, because we wanted it to be named after this wonderful mentor of ours. And so I do think that there's a bigger picture, and the fact that we're doing a policy, that to me that is a very heavy responsibility, that we want to make sure that we do it right. And so taking a different set of eyes going through it, I gotta say I support Kelly's precept on this. But maybe, you know, it would only be a couple hours. Maybe we could squeeze it out by the end of the year in a workshop.
I just want to put all of our energies right now into the comp.
I know, I do too.
And
but
I think this. There's nothing that.
Is there something stopping the naming of those two things?
It should be there for a long time. I would rather say we'll do this by the 1st of April or something.
So, well, I'm supportive of pushing it out a bit and looking at it closer and going through it one by one.
What is the... so this is what the basically the previous... previous...
right.
Yeah. Based on the previous existing policy.
Previous existing policy. And is there... anything really? I mean, there's only one thing I saw in here that it kind of got that I had questions, and it was it had nothing to do with really. It just had to do with like you had the PC or CCP manager, and then you had the park advisory board.
Yes.
And then you have the oh, never mind. You know, that's the memorial policy I'm talking about. That has an issue.
Okay.
There's
yes.
A, but
As this policy reads, for the most part, is that the Parks Advisory Board would have the ability to name components within a park, but it actually renaming a park in itself would have to have the Park County Board of County Commissioners would have to have final say on that.
I didn't quite hear that.
The Board of County Commissioners would have final say on naming a park, and the Parks Advisory Board can actually take the lead
absolutely.
On naming a component within the park. So, because you know, there's several occasions where, especially when it comes to sponsorships, and I might be kind of a revolving door when it comes to sponsorships, and it has become more and more important, as you can see right here with Jensen. We've got banners up all along the whole outfield fence,
yeah.
You know, and that those are sponsorship names that are out there, and so we're trying to capture some of that, you know, within this policy itself. And so
the driver for getting this worked through, you said you had a couple of things on your plate about renaming existing parks.
Correct.
What inhibits us from using the existing policy as it stands?
You know,
I know we have not adopted one in the county directly, but following the guidelines as they are today, you could still accomplish that, couldn't you?
I could, yes.
That way we could meet everybody's needs?
With the exception,
is there a way?
Yeah, with the exception of the sponsorships, that is not in the existing policy.
Oh, the sponsorships.
It doesn't lie in the naming policy nor in the memorial policy. And so Vancouver softball came to us asking us about the language that does address that so they can actively go out and seek sponsorships to build the park. And so I added that little clause in that under 4.13. I don't mind holding off, but I don't know if I want to hold off until April. I think that these matters have been pressing for quite some time, particularly the Bratton Canyon. I don't know if it'd be
fair. Yeah, I'm prepared to compromise on that. I'd be willing to put a group together. Anybody that wants from the committee, the board, wants to take a couple of hours outside of this meeting, go through this one line by line, and then come back to the December meeting with those potential changes for everybody to talk about and have it in the December meeting. And I'd be willing to do that, but it's going to cut into our comprehensive plan.
Yes. Well, if we hold a separate meeting, that's...
I'd be glad to chair a subcommittee meeting on this because I think I probably feel the strongest about looking at this closely. And anybody that wants to join me for a special meeting, that isn't a public meeting, it's just a workshop on this particular item only.
I'd be happy to join anybody.
I'll join.
Okay. Jennifer?
Oh, welcome.
Yes. Okay, wait a minute. Jennifer?
I didn't acknowledge that Greg has stepped in, and I'm glad to see you here.
So, would that be a motion? Or is that?
Greg, did you have your hand up?
Sure.
What is that? This isn't a motion because we don't need to...
No, we don't need a motion on this. This is an action item.
Action
item that
four
you want
chair,
to record.
Four chair has the ability to appoint a subcommittee, generally speaking,
yeah.
So he's just doing
yeah.
it.
Oh, we were just talking minutes-wise.
Yeah.
What?
How are you put the minutes?
No, it's
around. So Kelly will chair.
And you'll capture the names of everybody said they
I just did.
And we can
Kelly,
and
Barbara,
and
Jennifer,
and the
Adam.
Maybe via email
yeah.
some of that because
yeah.
your time can be an issue.
Yeah. So the list
So
is
maybe we can do this next week,
read that
Kelly,
out. Make
and
sure
we can
I got
get
everybody.
Together next week and we can hammer it out, email it to everyone and
that's,
maybe have
that's what I would do. I was going to say next Friday at 1 o'clock.
Well, I have the Parks and Rec Commission for the city.
Okay, what would you like?
Noon. I could do noon at City Hall.
Next
I can see.
Friday at 11 o'clock?
Friday, 11 o'clock.
Is that
it? I'm out.
You're out? Friday is out?
Yeah, well, and I don't think you need the entire committee doing
yeah.
it anyway.
Well, I thought
so.
You had your name on there.
Oh, I gave the list to...
I'll be coming back
just
from Hong Kong again.
Then
so I'll review the document.
Everybody should at least review it and make their comments
yeah.
known.
Yeah.
for the subcommittee.
I won't be able to make an 11 o'clock.
That's all right.
And that's for both the memorialization and the naming.
We're talking only about the one at this point. The other one, I don't have any problems with.
Oh, I thought you said they went hand in hand.
Well, they do go hand in hand, but this one.
Okay.
Which one do you have an issue with?
The naming.
Naming.
The donations and memorials policy is pressure. It's been worked on hard. It's really a document of the foundation. And we really, if we're going to work anything on this one, we really need to have them at the table. I don't see anything wrong with it. There's a lot more complication to this. And really, this is the one that we should be talking about for memorials. So if we can approve this one today, that's fine.
Okay. And we have talked about this at the past Parks Advisory Board meetings, memorial policy, and I have been in touch with Sherry Martin. We've had several discussions back and forth, emails, and she's good to go as written on this. The one big addition, outside of making a county document rather than a Ventura Park Parks document, was that we added the pavers to it.
Yeah.
And so as a cheaper alternative, and in fact, we actually took the step of putting pavers in a Dogwood Park. There's about 270 pavers out there, and it's actually integrated in quite nicely. Jeremy, get that picture real quick. If you can bring that up, I can show how it looks at the park itself right now. So that is the only primary change that we made to that document.
That's a big one.
I think it's a good move, yes.
Kelly, where are we meeting next Friday at 11?
Is this room available?
Eric?
I'll check that out in the back.
Okay.
Why don't you hop online and look in your online
Facebook? Jennifer, you're on.
100%. I'm telling you, I need to whittle 100%. My staff down from 3 to 1.
Well,
take a moment, thanks.
Wendy, while that's coming up, I think it's probably easier for the commissioners to keep these together when they go adopt them. I'm asking us to look at this one. Maybe we ought to just keep them together and look at them both.
They're on separate staff reports, so they are separated.
What's that?
They each have their own staff reports, so they are separated. So if you feel comfortable supporting the one today, the memorials, then that's fantastic. If you feel like it does require more discussion and you want to keep them together, that's another option.
Let's query the board. Jennifer, how do you feel about the memorials policy?
I think it's great.
John?
Yeah.
Good with it.
Chris?
Yep, it's fine.
Barbara? Greg?
Mark.
Adam?
I do have a huge concern, not really. On here is, let's see if I can find it. Basically, there was a part in here, it's kind of, let me see if I can find it. So you've got CCPD, you've got the foundation, and so from what I understand, there's a couple places that says the foundation is contact, or an individual contacts the foundation. Foundation talks to CCPD, and then there's a place in here where it says the CCPD contacts the individual, and the foundation contacts the individual, and it just kind of.
Procedurally,
it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Because it should be one point of contact as opposed to two.
It's 5.7 and 5.8. CCPD notifies Parks Foundation of approval or denial. Donor is notified by Parks Foundation of approval or denial. Is that where you're looking at that?
Right. And it should be just one point of contact, not two. Because otherwise it gets really confusing.
Well, CCPD notifies Parks. Parks then is notifying the donor. It's just written maybe back.
So does the donor go to the
Is that what you're talking?
Yeah, the parts of the Heart Foundation, it goes to the Heart Foundation, it is actually still a single point of contact.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just the way it's written. It's like they wrote, and then that person is notified by.
The way it works right now is, well, actually, we'll get calls in constantly about memorials. You know, somebody wants to do something. And so we'll actually send them over to the Parks Foundation at the end of that.
It's 5.4. It's CCPD will communicate with the Parks Foundation and donor to address any outstanding issues.
And that
the CCPD shouldn't talk to the donor. Right.
Yeah, and what that means is that usually when a donor comes to us, they want to adopt a bench or they want to install a bench, and so they'll contact us directly and they'll say Salmon Creek Greenway, and they want to know where the best location might be for that. And even if they do contact the Parks Foundation, Sherry comes to us and asks us, where can we actually place a bench? So it's a triage and communication.
We almost have.
But primarily, it does actually channel through Sherry Martin from the Parks Foundation. Okay. So she has actually
they're a key partner, and the reason is people usually, even though they're philanthropic, they still would like the tax write-off. And that's why the Parks Foundation plays a really key role in this.
Oh, I'm not talking about the Parks Foundation. I was just saying that CCPD contacting the donor when it's through the park, you know, and saying it's kind of like, but I understand what you're saying. I was just saying procedurally, it just kind of conflicts a little bit. That's all.
And then many times we'll actually meet with the Parks Foundation and the requester out on site, so we can actually pinpoint a location. So where I'll actually pop in, but it is actually Sherry Martin that makes the final discussion, has that final discussion with the donor.
90% of the time, Sherry Martin is
exactly.
Yeah. And like Will said, a lot of times we get involved with the donor wants to be on site and install or some special request.
There will be a lot of special requests.
Can I just maybe suggest one under 6.6 under pricing? It seems like it's difficult to get around to reviewing the pricing annually to align it with construction pricing. Maybe there's just a as-needed policy in there so that we're not binding Sherry to going out and doing a recalculation of the pricing every year. But its prices will be set at the time of approval of this policy, and it'll be reviewed as needed to occasionally,
right,
and periodically.
That's a key point.
Maybe periodically.
Yeah, I'm concerned.
Since it's policy, you know, I mean, you know, how much can it cost difference-wise, right? So if she's not making money on it, she has the opportunity to say, or breaking even, I'm going to review it. Oops, we're going to need to change it in 3 months.
Well, the picnic table down here, there's $3,500 now. It used to be $26,000.
Yeah.
That I can tell you.
Yeah. Periodically, maybe, or.
And Sherry gave us these numbers for this policy, so she updated the cost.
Yeah. So prices do change.
But this way, we're not saying you can only review it annually, or you have to review it annually. Yeah. It's just as needed or periodically.
I think that's a good point.
Okay.
So. And then if there's a price change around, of course, then she can go through them.
So back to the question, do we want to keep these together? Should we just approve this today with changes, suggestions made today?
I would say let's approve it.
And again, they're
policies. We can always bring them back if we come up with something. I do fear it. The more you look at it, the more changes you'll find.
Right.
And the moment you've got it set, there's going to be more to be made. It's a policy. That's the nature of the beast. So move it forward and have it working.
We might want to review this too.
That's the key thing for me. Sherry, so if you're happy with it,
picked it apart.
Well, I know she's gone through a lot of work because I used to run this program for a lot of it. But we might want to put a cap on if somebody has $10,000 they want to donate or something of a. I'm just throwing a number. We could say $50,000, whatever. A donation that they want to do something like build a picnic shelter in the park. That ought to come back to us. In other words, you're going to do a lot of this administratively. We're not going to have to deal with each of these things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, big ticket items like that, absolutely.
So we might just put a big ticket item that comes to us, the rest of them is administratively through you, and if you're okay with it, we're okay with it.
Okay.
So how would we put that into it?
Well, if it's actually donation, you know, where it's probably exceeds, you know, do we have a minimum amount, $10,000, or doesn't it matter?
Not knowing your rack is
specific
for a specific
purpose.
So under 6.6.2.4, other features such as closets, shelters, etc., will be reviewed on a case-by-case basis. The CCPD will make recommendation to the manager for authorization of the project.
And he'll make recommendations.
It's probably covered. Like, well, I recommend this not go through the blah blah blah, that it works through the next process.
And there again, obviously, when there's big ticket items on the up for discussion, I don't think I can make that decision individually.
Right.
I've definitely passed it at this advisory board.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't probably make a policy out of generosity, right? Or, you know, just how it says it, how, you know, just individually, case by case basis, sounds pretty good, you know, as opposed to, oh, you're over $20,000, sorry.
Well, what I'm hoping is that we will see $50,000 and $100,000 donations given to the park system.
Sure.
I think that's where we really are headed.
You bet.
So
I know that's what the Miracle League and Vancouver Senior Softball,
right.
they're looking for big dollars coming in. You know, so they can actually meet their goal.
Any more discussion on this one?
So just to clarify, the changes that we want to see made in here is... was it just the one?
From annually, and the word annually replaced with periodically as needed.
Periodically as needed, okay.
And then, Adam, did you have one that you felt directly you needed to change?
No,
It's
fine.
Okay. So, can I hear a motion to approve?
I wish I could, but I'm a non-voting.
Oh, she can't?
I know.
I thought you could do everything but vote.
I just caused trouble. Oh, maybe I could. I don't know.
I'm
let me know.
Okay.
Oh, Adam will. Good.
Adam will make the motion.
So, the motion is to...
approve as
the policy as is.
The parks donation and memorial policy as amended.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? I'd say you got one out.
Thank you.
Yes. On logistical thing on these, so these two policies are on the board agenda, consent agenda for Tuesday. So I was going to let you know to pull the naming one for sure. So we want to pull this one for a week to get the changes.
Why don't we do that? Because we were going to meet next week on the naming policy, so we might as well just present them together because they do actually go hand in hand.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. One more, and that is the wind-up agreement. That's a transfer agreement between the city, Clark County and the City of Vancouver.
Wow.
This has been a document that has been that was proposed to us quite some time, actually. Julie Hannon came to us with some proposals as early as March of this year. And where they wanted certain properties turned over to them. And just going back to the very beginning of this year, soon after the dissolution between the interlocal agreements, the City of Vancouver actually did an audit of all the city-owned properties that they had and found out that Clark County was in possession of several titles to property that the city had been maintaining, in some cases for decades, you know, back in the 90s. And so there's a whole list of properties that rightfully should go over to the City of Vancouver, and as listed in Exhibit A of this wind-up agreement. Wind-up agreement essentially finalizes all the unfinished business between the City of Vancouver and Clark County. And with that, the City of Vancouver still is in possession of all of our park impact fee dollars. And we actually have some real estate excise tax dollars, all totaling about $12 million. And that's kind of biting us right now because we are unable at this time to actually go out and purchase or acquire properties or to make any improvements because those funds are not in our possession. So that is an actual huge motivation for us to try to get this wind-up agreement dealt with, taken care of. And another component within this wind-up agreement is we've got some grants that are actually custodianship is a little mixed up. Some of these grants were actually acquired through Vancouver Clark Parks, so it's in that name. It's not the City of Vancouver, it's not Clark County, Vancouver Clark Parks. Some of the grants, the custodianship is in the city, needs to come over to the county and vice versa. In the county, that needs to go back to the city. So this wind-up agreement actually addresses that to where once this is done, we will focus on those grants and change custodianship of those to the rightful location. Another component within this wind-up agreement was something that's pretty minor. When Jeremy and Eric came over from Vancouver Clark Parks, we brought the vehicles over, and that's largely because Clark County funded those two vehicles. Another component with that was there was replacement monies that went along with one of the vehicles, and as part of this wind-up agreement, those monies would come to us from the City of Vancouver. It's about $23,000. So, in all, I don't know if you've had a chance to go through this document. I think you've had it in possession for a while. But that's essentially what this wind-up agreement is about. So it's about wrapping up unfinished business since the beginning of this year. And this is there's a staff report, and this will be going in front of the Board of County Commissioners next Tuesday. So I'd like to get your support.
So you want recommendation from the board for supporting this?
Correct.
The county commissioners.
Yes.
Well, I spent a lot of time on this because I thought it was important that we understand it. And, there's a tremendous amount of work here. I mean, somebody put a lot of time into this thing. I wished that it wasn't possible to do this because I didn't want us to be able to get a clean divorce, but we did.
Actually, Bronson Potter of the City of Vancouver actually authored this document.
Yeah,
he took all the components and put it together.
He knew it from both sides.
Yes,
he was the right guy.
And then Chris Horn from our legal side dealt with it as well.
And
what good partners we were, and then we went and got divorced.
It's always messy.
Well, I think there's a disclaimer in the end of this thing
that says doing here is
the numbers
children.
May not be exact, but they are as close as humanly possible.
Right.
I was glad to see that there because I'm glad to know it wasn't totally possible to get right down to the very penny. And I saw that they're paying interest on the money that they're holding the $12 million. So
that's correct.
We are earning some money on it. At least it isn't loss of that. So
that's right.
I agree with you. I think this should be exercised as soon as possible so the money can get over here and you can get on with business.
Yes.
So literally this is it's basically trying to get them to move, right? Move quickly.
No, it's a joint document. So it isn't trying to get them to move. It's trying to get things cleaned up so we can all move on.
Okay. It's a divorce paper.
Divorce decree, yes.
It's a divorce decree.
But
it is clean up for both. Nobody's holding back. It's,
that's right.
Yeah. Right. So, but if no one's holding back, but if someone wasn't holding back, then we'd already have that.
It's
just it
took a long time to put
making the finalizing formality. All the finished business.
It's a formality.
Yeah.
You just need to say yes.
They've been in divorce court for a year now.
Oh, okay.
And so now it's finally.
Great.
Right?
That's right.
I'm prepared to make a motion if you're on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay. Give a second.
Second.
Which one of you seconds?
Barbara
Adams.
I'll make a motion first that the board recommend the approval of the affairs of the Consolidated Vancouver Clark Parks and Recreation Department document, the winding up of the affairs.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying the motion.
Thank you for reading.
And its exhibits.
And its exhibits.
And Barbara Anderson was the second.
And Barbara was the second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
What was that? Did you have an aye or a no? You said both in the same sentence.
Aye. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
We recognize, I know you put a lot of time into it.
Yes.
I know they put a lot of time into it. And if everybody's happy at the upper end of things, the council and the commissioners can. We're tickled with it moving forward.
Yes, I know Lori Pearson, our proper services folks, spent a lot of time in the last week and a half, 2 weeks trying to wrap this up. So many thanks to them for all their efforts. And I know that we're all anxiously awaiting, you know, to get this wrapped up. So thank you for your support. I appreciate it. And so that is all I've got on my list. And so we can actually start diving into the comprehensive park planning components.
Which is what I wanted to focus on.
Yes, that's right.
And we lost Gene in the process.
He's right behind it.
Oh, okay. I see this says to you, but I assume you're going to take it on and
I'm
then
turn
it over
to
Gene as soon as possible. Okay. I'll let you do that.
Are we here, Eric? Did we get confirmation?
No, we're not here. I'm going to address that to this.
You can meet in my office if you want to. We have iSpace.
I'd love to.
We'll just meet a little.
Everybody know where Vancouver School District Headquarters office is? It's down
behind the 1 Falk Road.
Falk Road?
Okay.
Yeah. So give us the address.
2901 Falk Road.
So
that's
since
our 500, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah.
Okay, then it's right by.
And 11 to 1245 or 1.
11 through 1 next Friday.
Yeah.
And Leanne will send out a notice to us as soon as possible. Okay. And
thank you.
Please, everybody get a chance to read line by line through that. And if you can't come to the meeting, send something.
That'd be great.
Okay.
That'll be
me. Go back to you, Bill. You get to start the comprehensive plan discussion.
Absolutely. So, first of all, I wanted to thank you for that special meeting that we had that took, 4.5 hours, I believe, of our time. And a lot was done, and I was really appreciative of the group's input. I mean, everybody at the table really had a lot to do with creating the goals. And so, I just want to keep up this momentum, you know, and have this this good collaboration. And I think today the plan was to go over the comp plan objectives on top of after the goals and also the policies. And if we try to get as much of that taken care of today, because I know we're going to start our next December 12th meeting is going to be really focusing on another area of the comp plan, so it's moving forward. So I think without further ado, let's see if we can get going. Thanks.
So, as y'all remember from last time, we focused on the new chapter that we added to the parks plan, and that was the water access chapter. And we focused on the policies and the goals for that particular one. The remaining chapters as part of the comp plan, we have a policies and goals that were drafted previously by Vancouver Parks and Rec. I translated those goals and changed some, you know, the terms and the acronyms and things like that. And then Gene and I worked together and we kind of distilled it down as much as we could and presented those to you, which is the document that was emailed here up on the screen. And I believe everybody's had a chance to go through it. We don't have a whole lot of time left in the meeting here today, so what I wanted to do is just kind of run quickly through each chapter and find out if anybody had any particular issue with one chapter or another, or specific wording, or is there something else that you would like to see that wasn't included, hadn't been included previously? The first one, we worked on the vision, and we got that settled and finalized the last time that we met on October 15th.
Mm-hmm. And it's up there on the screen.
Yeah. The mission is also completed, so that's done. The second one is, the first goal, we had the goal there in the policies. I've got under those. Has everybody seen those and is comfortable with what they say, or is there something else that you would like to see included? Something to be taken out?
Okay. So the 10 goals, 1 through 10, I believe all 10, are the ones that you came up with as goals from last time.
Right. And you guys, after going away and looking at it all, you thought we covered everything, or did you make any changes?
Well, so one of the things that may be good to reflect on as you move through other pieces of this comp plan, you're going to learn more in more detail about what's going on, what are the trends, what's been happening, similar to the picnic shelter reservations and how things are shifting, and it may trigger something else. So sort of keep these as a reference point as well, to say, geez, are we missing something? Whether it's a goal or whether it's an objective within a goal, you know, there's a lot of layers in this. Also notice that underneath each goal, while there's the little alphabetical sublist, there's always one that's empty.
I saw that.
So that's a hint that we're not considering these done, and you might come up with something else. There might be something that always bothered you in the system where there's a gap in type of service or type of infrastructure or activity or funding or level of support or whatever. And if that's been something that's been niggling at you, you know, look at how it might fit in with all this. So we just tried to fill in where the objectives that are sort of a composite from what Jeff had originally drafted and previous ones, and try to figure out how those would fit underneath as subsets of the goals you guys put forward. Mm-hmm. So you can shift them around if you think they're in the wrong place, or there's something missing, or there's something you really never wanted to have as an objective. I don't know, do you want to go through one by one?
We can.
I think that's probably
the first goal that you approved the last time we met was the provide a balanced, comprehensive, and interconnected park, trail, and open space system. The policies underneath that I drafted, and some of these I took from previously adopted documents, some of them I drafted by myself, some of them a little bit different, but they're all things that I think support what I heard the last time we met. So all those goals, A, B, C, and D, are what I drafted and what I'm submitting to you for your approval. If you'd like to see something different, if you'd like to see something taken out, as Gene mentioned, this is the time to let us know. These can always, we have more time in the future if something comes up next spring or next January, February, we can change that. But we got these out to you last week, and I wanted to see if there's anything that caught your eye, so anything you want to change.
I think if everybody's on board with the goals, I think the objectives we really ought to spend a little time on.
Okay.
We've worked with goals, so
right.
The 10, I think you've captured them. And
yeah, the goals should be
the objective.
I'm talking about the policies underneath.
Underneath are what we really need to look closely at, so I think it'd be worth you going through these.
Okay.
One by one.
I'd be more comfortable with that.
And if everybody agrees with one that we don't need to go through, fine. But,
okay.
But I think
so,
this is the meat.
So, we're pursuing new parkland acquisitions with the intent to provide geographically accessible regional parks in strategic locations throughout Clark County and urban parks with an equitable distribution in the urban unincorporated area.
And just to start it off, I'm still the partnership guy, so if we could. Would it make sense to everybody to say pursue new parkland acquisitions and acquisition partnership opportunities?
Very good. Is there one in here that does that separately? No, there isn't.
So
add after the word acquisition in the first line, comma, and acquisition partnership opportunities.
Do you need to do that if you have goal nine?
Goal. There was all
that
down to the bottom.
That's what you added to
Or should on every long haul? Should we make sure that this objective is under goal 9?
We can move it.
Rather than try to have goal 9 in every objective.
Yeah, that's also
that's true.
So are we moving this from under goal 1 to goal 9?
No, I think this goal actually
this
fits
belongs
under the balance of the interconnected parts.
Let's just table my comments and we'll come back to that when we hit 9.
You forgot you added that. Because I don't know that under goal 9 it says specifically partner in acquisition. So just think of that.
Right.
You know, maybe that's what BG
that can be
under that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Trying to prevent too many
rules. Yeah, I don't
like it. For government, we like run-on sentences.
Urban parts of equitable distribution.
Okay. Move on to B. We're balancing the regional and community and neighborhood park and recreation needs. Supporting all objectives and adopted community plans that are aligned with the role of CCPR as a regional and urban park provider and help meet identified countywide needs.
In other words, we're going to be everything to everyone.
That's a nice sentence.
I like that.
Technically, you probably get rid of the first and. Regional, comma, community, and neighborhood parks and recreation.
True enough.
Unless you like jeans.
Go with Jean's idea. Shorten up.
We're so glad that we have our editor here.
Yeah. One last word.
Yes.
We just accept one last word.
So remove it?
Yeah.
Yep.
You're right.
Sherry's really our technical.
Okay, moving on. C, enhance the system of protected open spaces, open space areas and corridors to preserve the region's beauty, enhance the long-term health of the natural environment, and to provide outdoor recreation where appropriate.
It's not a different one.
Ensure the long-term
health. That would get rid of the word to with the after the comma there.
And provide
outdoor recreation.
It's a system to protect the open space areas. I'm sure it works.
Just preserve
would that be a semicolon
here? Okay.
The region beauty semicolon.
Moving on to D, if everybody is happy with that. Continue to work to implement the adopted 2006 Regional Trail and Bikeway Systems Plan to pursue the implementation of an interconnected network of trails, parks, and open spaces. Coordinate with cities and local communities, federal agencies, tribes, park districts, user groups and organizations, and neighboring counties to ensure the successful development of regional trails and bikeway systems.
Could we get
rid of that first two? Continue work to implement. I don't think you need to continue to.
It'd have to be continue working then.
Continue working to implement. Yeah.
And can we get rid of the
continue working?
Yeah.
Continue working to implement.
And can we get rid of 2006 so that it reads just the adopted regional trail and bikeway systems plan? Because the 2006 plan will eventually be updated to 2016, and why
that's the
official document,
right?
Yeah.
That's like
it's the adopted plan, is what I'm saying. It's just go with whatever the adopted one is.
Okay.
So I have a question.
Are you doing away with 2006?
I'm not sure I convinced everybody.
Sure. Good idea.
Okay. We'll keep the pressure off of having to build a new one.
So
I mean, 10 years from now, when it looks like it's really old, it's got really old.
Yeah.
So that too.
That's true. That does forces updating, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't really need updating.
I have a question or a thought around this one. So I wonder if being a school person, if schools should be in the coordinate with cities, local, community, yeah. federal agencies, tribes, etc. And I only wonder it because we have, at the Highway 99 plan, if I'm thinking correctly, there is some trail request behind Sarah J. Anderson, if you had Google up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it says to go through Sarah J. Anderson's school mm-hmm. as part of the trail, if ever developed. And the school kind of has interconnected sidewalks that get you to the other place. And so it's in our system now. So I'm wondering, not as a way to... It's just a way to collaborate on that, because one of the things that we went to add on at Anderson, and it was like, oh, now you have to make this trail from the back of your property where there eventually will be a trail that connects to your site. When that gets developed, that you'll have to make this new trail across your property. And we're like, but we already have sort of this paved meandering space across, and won't that work? And so I'm just wondering if that helps support that interconnectedness with schools or not.
Can I ask you that? Are those pathways open all day long every day?
No. That one's closed in session. And so it's already in conflict. It already exists. But some of the parks are on the school property as well. And so they are an interconnected system. They just may not be
Oregon counties then?
Request to be open 24/7.
Interrelated.
Yeah, I think at Eisenhower, one of our schools has a path that goes back to the county park, and I don't think that
that's...
That
is actually county park, but that's school
right,
property,
right.
So it's two different jurisdictions.
Yeah, so, but the path that gets back there, is that county property?
Yes.
Okay, so I was just saying, because I think that path is open all the time, but if that's your property component, then that makes sense.
I'm in total agreement with what you just said, and I know there's more examples of that as well, but... We were just suggesting that we change this to say federal, state agencies.
There you go. Yeah.
Schools, tribes, and park districts.
Even if it just says state agency, I mean, it sort of
encompasses you. Yes.
So she's
yeah. But that's an important element.
I think schools should be called that specific.
Yeah, I think so too. We can write that in.
Okay.
So there's such a need to have, connectivity with the kids walking.
Yeah. Let's keep moving here so we can see if we can get through it before the time. Did anybody have anything that they wanted to add to under goal number one, add to item E under goal number one might be beneficial? Have any ideas? We'll just leave this blank until we get to the final version of the document that we're going to forward on to the Board of County Commissioners. So if there's anything that does come up, please let me know. We'll add it in, and then we can discuss that particular policy at a separate meeting.
Does businesses go under user groups or organizations? Is that?
I think
local
that would.
Communities.
Yeah,
because your business could be part of the community. Right. I think the community is supposed to seem to be sort of a broader, not necessarily a government entity.
So, moving on to goal two, ensure equity and access to parks, trails, and facilities for a healthy community. The first policy we have here is for accessibility, and we want to follow or exceed the ADA guidelines to ensure equal accessibility for all users where feasible, and incorporate ADAPJ outdoor accessibility guidelines to ensure maximum accountability for all users. Provide current easily accessible information about the parks, trail, and open space system to using multiple means of communication. Now, there's another federal law that I didn't cite in here. It's called the Architectural Barriers Act. A lot of those same things though are covered by ADA, so it's kind of redundant, but just so you're all aware, we wanted to add that back in.
What is ADAJ as opposed to ADA?
ADA is... It's basically outdoor guidelines that aren't stringent. So ADAG stands for the District Attorney Justice something.
Right.
I forget what it's called.
Well, either way, you should probably spell it out.
Yeah.
So,
And I wonder on that, not that we don't always want to be all ADA compliant at all times, but there is a difference from when a facility is built and being ADA compliant, then if ADA code changes in
right.
2 or 3 years, you're not in compliance anymore because, you know, you've gotten all these changes in your rules. I worry about this being follow all the ADA guidelines, like, well, we better spend all our money retrofitting our buildings continually. So I wonder if at the time of construction, follow or exceed American, I mean, or at the time of implementation or the time of major reconstruction or something that's relative to, you know, if we had to, if we had a pool, for example, and we had to go back and completely retrofit, we would just be out of business.
You make a good point, because right now, if we were to try to catch up with the ADA
yeah.
and everything, right now we would have to.
You would bank
it. Couldn't be funded for 20 years.
Yeah. But it does
we
say we're feasible.
Be able to meet that goal.
Yeah, it does say we're feasible.
Yeah. Something around at the time of construction.
Yeah, I think the word feasible covers that.
I do like the word feasible. Yeah.
You know,
but
I don't,
people will say it's feasible. It's so good. You have $12 million. You just got in your account.
So it is required. It is a requirement where feasible in all our construction. Because
right.
The ADA we have for anything built that's public, that's providing access to a building, and then ADA it's to the main amenities in the park. But then these outdoor guidelines are not loosey-goosey, but they allow for a certain amount of, you know, different types of trails that people can experience. So it's not all wheelchair accessible. So there's all these gradients that are required to be reviewed in site plan review. So upon construction, that's the code anyway.
We don't have to build an ADA yes. ramp up to the top of St. Helens, but we have to put a
right.
pole on the top of St.
Right.
Helens.
So, but the other piece to it is, where feasible, if you have the older facilities, you have a plan that says, over the course of the next 10 or 20 years, we will gradually improve through cap repairs or whatever it is you're doing. We'll gradually increase the level of accessibility. With, again, that's sort of the way it feasible. So I don't know if we have to call out upon construction, because that's a requirement anyway.
Okay. So I just wondered.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think the where feasible is that encompassing?
It covers that whole range.
Yeah. Okay.
And just to belabor the point, I would not want to say call out new construction specifically, because we do want to go back and
right.
update other stuff when
mm-hmm.
we can. So.
And we also need to keep in mind that you know, we need to be somewhat flexible. That, you know, when we build a new park, especially one that's on terrain, that we can't make the entire park accessible. You know, that we do have to make, you know, components equally accessible within the park.
Right.
So, you know, out of say 2 or 3 trail systems that interconnect, at least one of them should be needed. So it's
yeah.
almost impossible for us to.
Yeah, that said, it was a little.
So I just want to make sure that we're not too strict
yeah.
in this language.
And I just have a question on this, because I know that in my own mind, and I don't want to seem cold-hearted. Because I am quote disabled. I have been for years. But there's one thing that breaks my heart more than that, because I get pity parties sometimes, but not much, is that when I look at some of the facilities and then the difference in the price, and a specific recent example was looking at how Linda and the troops wanted to put the trail in there at Shaver Park. The difference in the price between the neighbors coming together and putting that trail in and using those ADA special, what were they called, chips?
Engineered
chips. Went from the, we can make this happen, into never frickin' gonna happen. Okay, category. As a disabled person, I got no grief with the trail not being accessible to me. You know, on my bad days when I got my walker out and I'm hobbling around, I'm not going hiking anyway. So what do I care? Where is the distinction of when we must use those and when we can get away with providing it so that the rest of the people who can get around can do it? What is that? Because I don't understand that. And I'm not trying to be cold and say we should just move forward and leave people like me out. I like to be included sometimes.
Typically, whenever we're adding something new, a new component to a park, it should have ED accessibility components. You know,
it has to.
Yeah, I mean, just to put a chip trail in, now, and we know about it. It's probably going to.
I'm not going hiking anyway. Most of my friends and me, we hobble around, but not on hiking trails.
Right.
No, but that's just accessible is different than making the trail entire trail.
Right. But if we were to put regular wood chips down on a trail system, which the entire trail would be, then none of it would be ADA accessible.
That was what the neighbors felt they could afford, was the chip trail.
I think we're getting a weed again. This just is going to be a call that Bill's going to have to do. He has to stay legal with the federal law.
Well, that's what I was
saying. We covered it here. Let's move on.
The park system provide a quality park system that supports the mission and vision of the county, providing a wide range of active and passive recreation experiences, conserving and enhancing significant environmental and historical resources, and meeting the needs of diverse age groups, recreation interests, and abilities. Ensure park system properties are connected to the surrounding communities through safe pedestrian access.
And while we were talking through these, I think I read through all the rest of this particular section. I don't think you're going to have any, unless somebody has an objection or hasn't looked at it. This is pretty much boilerplate stuff. I like this last one, the urban growth and walkability. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that, but I think that's good there. Why don't we just move on to, unless anybody wants to bring something up, move on to goal 3.
Okay. So goal 3 that you had looked at and approved last time, provide diverse recreational opportunities for the entire community. First policy offers sufficient parks, trails, and sports facilities and support services to accommodate the needs of various users, the growing population, and demographic changes.
We're going to see some demographics sometime here in the near future, I believe, of the county, what age groups we have, how we fit here versus nationally. I believe there's going to be some of that in there. So we'll understand a little more about what we are, our demographics, as this plan comes together. So I'm glad, I think you'll be able to address that further.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Explore new recreational trends and proactively accommodate diverse amenities within parks and engage in partnerships with user groups and organizations to implement, operate, and maintain specialized facilities.
Sounds good.
Where are you at again?
Three.
We're now
at
C.
Yeah, we're moving on to C. I just read B.
What do you mean by specialized facilities?
So specialized facilities like a baseball arena can't really be used for much else. I mean, it could be a multi-purpose, but it's also pretty much that's what it's for. Yeah, it's a little specialized thing. Sand volleyball court.
A swing.
So moving on to C, prioritize new facility development based on criteria such as demonstrated need, population served, the facility's regional draw, revenue-generating potential, innovation, or uniqueness of services, and the ability to increase recreation options within identified core program areas. And then D, under goal 3, expand sports facilities through additional sites and all-season fields designed to secure adequate recreational infrastructure for all ages and abilities.
This might sound like a really silly question. Does Clark County do programs?
Say that again.
Does Clark County presently run programs?
Does Clark County do?
So what this is saying is we're hoping to achieve, create programs. Is that correct?
That's depending on what this board wants to do. So if it's the desire of this board to create recreational programs
and facilities to house those,
we can do that. If it's not, then that's not.
Phil, do you run any direct programs? You don't do?
Not really. No, we provide the recreational facilities.
And others do.
Ball fields.
Basically, it's either by contract or agreements you have. Well, like
we have agreements with these sports leagues, but we don't actually run the program. Yeah, little leagues.
So, this may be back to goal number two, but one thing that's hitting me is we need to build new facilities, new parks, new trails, whatever, but there's also a lot of need for parking and parking and other access type stuff. Do we need some, I'm totally fishing here, do we need a goal, maybe under number two as an F, saying we need to ensure that we have adequate...
All that is in the trails plan.
That's all covered in the plan.
Okay.
By adoption.
Good enough.
Reference.
Trying to get people out of their cars.
Also true.
I'm just not sold on the program. The idea of park and rental programs.
Well, if we build if in the future we have a community center, you wouldn't build a community center in that program.
Right. And well, that's I have maybe a difference of opinion on the idea of a community center.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
The closest we come to programming right now is what Eric does when it comes to scheduling, you know, between the different sports leagues that are sharing ball fields and whatnot.
Right.
But as of this time, you know, we provide facilities, but we're not actually programming. You know.
Right.
That's more of a recreational component which we have entered into as a deal.
So I don't know if that's since this is just it's a working document. I don't know if that's a.
So
I know that's the general goal of the communities.
I think it's identifying a need.
Well, so, yeah. So I guess the need is dependent on the city as opposed to the county. So I don't know if the county's role is to create programs, whereas to facilitate...
Well, the park district that we have would have that role, because that is like a city program, the park district we have. Is a parks and recreation district.
So one of the challenges that this county faces, and it's somewhat unique in terms of traditional counties, traditionally counties are regional park providers. They're not in the urban park and urban community services, and that's usually the role of the city.
Right.
So this particular county is dancing in both, you know, venues or...
They made a decision 20 years ago to be an urban service.
But they don't really have the resources to be the way a city would. And even the city of Vancouver has a tough time sometimes providing the resources to provide recreational programming. So that's a little bit of a challenge. But it's a little bit of an anomaly for Clark County. And it would be this board for significant user groups within the urban area, the unincorporated urban area, that would say you need to get into the recreation programming provision business. Because they're not in it now. They do some, but it's infrastructure. So that's a significant change. And is it time for a significant change? That would be a question. That's a big one.
One of the things that I don't know if we've big picture covered in our, maybe even in our vision, this is scary to think about, or maybe we don't want to at all, is do we want to address community development in a way that supports economic growth or development within our community? And what I'm thinking of is these sports fields like this that draw tournaments to our community that also support the economics of our community. So I don't see that we really have that in here as a goal and duty, yeah?
No, but I am also responsible for writing the economic development element of the county's comp plan.
You are.
I didn't quite hear that, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Can we coordinate? Because I think it's important. If you go up to Seattle area or wherever, everyone knows these great soccer complexes, and all of our kids and families are going up there to play these big tournaments. And, you know, we have an opportunity to talk about, at least have a goal of having some of that draw here, or even that Portland draw from here.
That's also going to be in the economic element.
I can't hear you, Jeff.
It's also going to be in the economic development element of the county's plan.
So are we missing it?
I didn't include it in here because I thought it was...
It should be in here. And it was in the first mission statement. We had economically...
responsibility of some kind, right?
Yeah.
Like, to think about that at least. Because I'm starting to go through and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if we've really addressed that we can impact our community economically by providing... complexes like this, but I don't know if
you've
done that.
Well, the tournaments that were put on at this facility are huge economic drivers for
correct.
The community. So,
yeah. I think we should
be that's one of the things you talked about earlier on.
I don't know where best or how best to. Or am I speaking a way to wrong committee?
No, I thought. When I was writing the first draft of the economic development that
stronger statement
was more appropriate there because it's an economic development draw, it's not really a benefit to this community. It is kind of an abstract way, but I just thought it fit better in a different outlook.
I actually tend to support Jennifer and say even if the focus of that language is in the economic development element, that referencing it somewhere in here would be a good thing.
They won't build it, they won't come.
So look at 10D.
But if we build it,
and maybe it should be stronger somewhere else.
Which one? 10D. 10D has it with the promote Clark County recreation as a tourist destination.
BND, actually.
Marketing the region.
So the question would be, should that be stated more strongly in another way? Maybe as a primary goal.
Not just open spaces, but maybe the sports facilities should be added in there, and that would cover it.
Yeah,
recreational amenities.
Sports parks, whatever you want to, whatever term you want to utilize.
The Senior Olympics site or whatever.
Park and trails, special facilities, and open spaces. Because then that covers it.
Because
the parks draws people to watch birds. The trails draw people for marathons.
We had a great interconnected trail.
What about having a E that says something along the lines of supporting the economic development elements of the comp plan through development of parks and facilities, something like that.
Yeah, good.
I think what we ought to do is go back into the mission statement and put that economic driver back in.
Why did we take it out? I don't remember that.
It came out, it was in the original one, but it came out, we tried to shorten it. I think we shortened it a little too much.
But is that our goal?
But
yes,
it is.
We're never going to get anything.
Well, we've been doing that for several years now. I mean, we've got special facilities out there like Vancouver Lake, where we have rotary gutters.
Absolutely.
People coming from around the country.
Right.
You know, and that's a huge draw. And then just this year, we had a paddle fest where folks came in from around the country out of Lake Park. We're definitely doing that. But we're providing a facility.
But
brings in a special
facility, I agree with, but just the program, because it's like generating. I don't know. Building a place in which people can come and participate and have games and gather is great, but to facilitate those and to generate income at those.
You're getting off on a program thing.
Yeah. Right, and I am.
No, we're talking about why we build the system to generate those things, but it doesn't mean immediately. It means that motels are fuller, the economy of the community is better.
economic development to
restaurants get more business.
You can just add an economic development at the end of the mission statement and it's done.
I think so. That's where I would
go.
Under mission. Not in the vision. I think the vision is spectacular.
Under mission, okay.
It's really in the mission.
Yeah.
Just put an economic development at the end. Community needs are providing an interconnected system of parks, trails, recreation facilities, and natural areas to support environmental stewardship, diverse recreational opportunities, and economic development. Period.
Perfect.
Take that one and yeah. out, yeah. but and
yeah. absolutely
at the end.
Economic development. It might be economical too, but we're going to try.
Like so?
It's never economical.
Perfect. Thank you.
See, we've already advised Marcy to
get her walker out there.
We knew it would happen.
Now we have.
All good.
Okay, let's move on. Thank you. That was a good one.
Number four. The fourth goal, be effective stewards of the land as well as economic and environmental resources. We're going to, first policy is provide efficient and effective management of park system resources in a sustainable and environmentally beneficial manner that contributes to a healthy, livable community and a rich natural park experience.
Sounds good.
Yeah, this, I apologize, but I just have to say it. So, formatting this document, back at the top, you start with vision, mission, goals.
Right.
Should it say goals / policies?
Yes.
Just so it's clear what.
It should. This.
Sometimes feel really nitpicky, but.
Well, no, now's the time to do it.
Is it policy? Or is policy what we will adopt? Are these goals and objectives?
I thought they were goals and objectives.
Or objectives would probably be the better term, yeah.
Because policies, in my mind, we start to.
It'll develop a policy beyond.
Yeah, these
codify, but it's separate from the comp plan.
Right. These are the policies. These are the
objectives.
So this is the actual objective that's going to be in the end. It's about 30 pages long. This is kind of boiled down, so we can get through the discussion quickly. So I'll try to get all the formatting right, all the other stuff right, and the final version of that.
Okay, I'm going to keep moving.
Research is in.
I'm going to cut this off at 20 after, so we got 10 more minutes.
Okay, so B is incorporate sustainability practices into the design, development, and maintenance of the park system. Okay with that one?
Good.
C, incorporate low-impact development techniques into park and trail designs and be a leader in demonstrating sustainable building practices.
Good.
Use effective and innovative funding methods to build, maintain, operate, and promote the park, recreation, and open space system. Cooperate with other county departments to define, identify, retain, and conserve open space within the county in order to better serve our citizens.
Good.
Incorporate management of trail user counts and park user surveys into regular operational practices to maintain or to obtain vital information for better customer service and enhance viable grant eligibility.
It's mandatory.
And then we're on to goal 5, preserve our historic and cultural heritage. Provide opportunities to enhance appreciation of Clark County's historic and cultural heritage through preservation, interpretation, and restoration of historical cultural resources. Incorporate sensitive design approaches to protect and improve historic and cultural features within existing and newly acquired parks and trail sites. And partner with public agencies, nonprofit organizations, and private and individuals at
the
to create adequate resources for enhancement, interpretation, and education of those heritage resources.
So we're getting rid of the word and before individuals.
Between drivers and individuals. Sorry. And. It's like rabbits.
Like so within that, I think that's real important, and it isn't saying that we're going to be the operators of historic buildings or anything. It's just saying that we're going to.
I guess my question is, what is a historic feature? You know, is it an apple tree? You know, in a park?
It could be.
You know, that kind of thing. So.
What do you have, one of those?
That apple grove could be 50 years old and now it's
historic. I know. I want to be careful that we can't touch, you know, if we buy property that's got some kind of a feature on it, we can't touch it when we're building that park.
Well, the community planning maintains the historic site register, and I don't think you have to apply to get on it. So.
Good. Yeah.
Well,
Louisville
Character
House is
a story. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. So, on to 6, maintain and enhance existing and future parks and recreation facilities. I got somebody else's page in there. Maximize operational efficiency to ensure incorporation of best practices and invest in preventative maintenance and upgrades to parks, trails, and facilities for long term benefits.
Great.
Okay. Pursue adequate operating budget to ensure sufficient funding for existing and future park facilities. Coordinate with local trail interest groups and advocates in development, implementation, operation, and maintenance of trail projects. Promote volunteerism to enhance community ownership and stewardship of parks, recreation programs, and services. In particular, encourage citizens' involvement in the participation in maintaining, improving, and restoring parks and natural areas.
Can I get akin to any union problems there?
Well, we've been addressing it as we've gone along since 2010.
Okay.
So, Goal 7.
Serve the needs of the community through a dynamic and effective organization. And provide leadership for the planning, coordination, and design of parks, sports fields, and regional trails on a countywide basis. Develop capital facilities plans for to ensure adequate improvements and expansion of the parks, recreation, and trail systems to serve the existing and future population. Engage in a variety of responsive public involvement practices during planning, design, and implementation of the park system capital projects. And lastly, support professional training and development of leadership and staff to promote adoption of new technologies, professional growth, and best practices.
Is there something we can do to strengthen C?
I'm
going to
delete it.
So where I'm going is, as staff, getting out, reaching out to the public is always the PETA factor as far as doing stuff, but it's also one of the more important things that we often fail in government. So I see this as a... Yeah, I know. So I see this as a really important line. I'm not sure what I want to do with it. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well,
no, you're right, John. We were actually just discussing that.
I think we can add, there's a part of the Growth Management Act that requires early and continuous public participation for any project. We can add language like that to this particular item.
That might be good.
Okay.
I wonder if you're really getting at the how.
Well,
because it happens.
Yeah.
Not maybe the most engaging way.
Yeah. Well, the what I like is his comments about the early engagements, and that's, I think, often the problem is we develop something and say, here you go, public. Mm-hmm. Here's your chance to tweak an edge or two.
But it's a fine line too, because if you go to the public and say what do you want,
right,
you got to put boxes around it,
yeah,
to give them something to comment.
Yeah.
So it's a fine line. Let me think about how I can integrate.
Exactly. No, you don't.
Let me think about how I can integrate that concept, and maybe I'll send it out prior to the next meeting. Does that work for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
It's the how that just needs strengthening in my mind.
Yeah. Well, though, as he says, you don't want to get too deep into how. This is a higher level than how.
What I found in public participation projects, whether they're planning projects, capital projects, the speed of technology has gone up so quickly in terms of how people can get engaged and how they can vote, how they can express themselves in a lot of projects, whether it's actually GIS-based, et cetera. It's you don't want to say how you're going to be behind in a year.
Exactly.
But if something is in a multiple ways of blah, 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 etc. about to mention,
like,
you know what I mean? It's not like holding an open house at Geyser and everyone should come and hear the plan.
Right.
That's tough to do.
But, you know, I do have to say that from what John said, that when I'm talking with neighborhood leaders, the feedback that I get is usually related to the half-mile limit, for example, that is there. And you've got so many people that were missed out. I never saw them. I was never asked. That's the feedback I get. And so I do agree that we need to maybe put a bigger star by that action. And I don't know how to do it, but I agree.
In January,
yes.
And then maybe we can actually try to put the options, you know, for folks to on our website, our webpage. Now, so their input can be done via electronically instead of having to show up in person.
We had a vote. The county bought a program. It's kind of like SurveyMonkey, but much more advanced than that.
Right.
We can use for web-based voting.
So we can engage that for this process.
Is that the same one that C-TRAN's been using for their BRT?
I believe it is.
Okay.
It's been used by various jurisdictions around the country. Let me check into that. Because
let's just put an axe fix on this, and you'll look at it and move on.
I'm not sure how it should be. Engage in a variety of responsive public involvement practices during planning, design, and implementation of park system capital projects. Support professional training and development of leadership and staff to promote adoption of new technologies, professional growth, and best practices. Eight, acquire adequate funding to meet community needs. So first one under that, provide sufficient operations to funding to support county residents' desired level of service, which is what we'll be talking about next month. Develop and maintain diverse funding for the acquisition, development, and operation and maintenance of parkland, recreation facilities, and trails to meet community recreation needs. Actively seek innovative funding methods to retain financial flexibility, match user interests, and increase facility services. Employ alternative service provision models where feasible to enhance efficient and effective operations. And lastly, consider stabilization of the MPD levy revenues through protection of the 25 cent per thousand funding method.
I can see a whole day's discussion just on that run alone. I don't want to open that door because our job is going to be to try to convince the commissioners.
Consider.
Well, the whole, I've just thought about
it. Yeah, what is it? New.
It's a low level cap, you know, to where the it cannot go below the 25 cents per dollar. Because right now the MPD fund is a junior levy. It can be rated by the senior levies, if you will, fire, schools, that kind of thing. So that happened to us in this last year and the year before. Where with the economic downturn, the levy monies, the tax monies weren't coming in to support the big levies, so they started drawing off the MPD levy, which brought it down to about 25 cents per thousand. And I think it got down to 18 cents or 17 cents, something like that. And it really started concerning us about the fact that we might not be able to bring enough money in to maintain these parks that we've gotten built so far. So what this is, the 25 cent per thousand, is actually caps it at that, so it's protected to that level. It can only come down to that, and that would require a vote of the people to make that happen.
Okay, I know just from my knowledge of that, it would take us an hour to go explain that.
Yes.
To the point, if you want to learn that, let's get it on the agenda and do it, because it's very complex, but it's very important to understand. And it means, I mean, you can't do it in a 1 minute speech. A lot to understand. So if we want to learn that, let's get it on the agenda and have a presentation on that one.
So is this a place to put it, or is this?
It's got to be here.
It has to be. If the board desires it to be here, it has to be here.
Let's go through.
I think it's worth a session about it.
I do too.
Yeah.
If it's something that the group wants to talk about. There's all kinds of things you are going to want to know when we have those discussions. Like, does that compete with other funds that people are, you know, like schools might be going out for a bond or a levy, and does that compete with school bond and levy, and you don't know, or if it, does it compete with fire, and how does that work? And so maybe having something on the agenda to better educate everyone about how that
especially
works.
The idea of programs and facilities are brought to bear, right?
Then, right.
Well, they are. Everything is brought to bear.
Yeah.
Well,
so it might make sense when we're looking at implementation of this comprehensive plan update that we have that you have a whole session on funding.
Yeah.
Because there's funding, there's issues of revenue generation where, you know, there used to be a parking fee to go into regional parks, and that was
done
away with. Yeah. Yes. But that accounted for half of the operating fund, the general fund that operated regional parks. So if you're not getting those funds in, it's coming from somewhere else, and as Jennifer said, it's taken from something else that's in the general fund. And this is one piece that was separate to that. So there's a lot of funding stuff that's going to be critical to implementation. And it will also be critical to then guiding how aggressive or wishful do you want your capital facilities plan to be.
Yes.
So it's all related.
Yes.
So it's a bigger term. But to have a goal that you want to look at this because you want to get a fire adequate funding, this would be an objective case. Should we look at these different tools for getting adequate funding?
And then when we're advising the commissioners on what they should be budgeting for parks, if we don't understand this, we're going to look like fools in front of them.
Right.
Exactly.
Let me run through 9 and 10 real quick. Achieve goals through public and private non-profit partnership. Develop partnerships with public and private agencies when advantageous to the county and which result in increased recreation opportunities for county residents.
And on that one, I would argue to take out the words when advantageous to the county. And I know that sounds really contrary.
Right.
Yeah.
But
there won't be advantageous.
There are times. Yeah. Wow. That carried.
Wait, why would you want to do that?
Well, there are times when something will be disadvantageous to the county, but advantageous to the system.
And to the community.
To the community. Actually, the divorce decree that we just approved, in some ways, is disadvantageous to us.
Oh, absolutely.
But we're doing it to get the whole system moving forward.
Perfect example. So, serve as... serve as a regional coordinator, leading the effort to forge partnerships and foster opportunities for countywide collaboration among all major recreation providers in the provision of parks, open space, trails, facilities, programs, and services. Where appropriate and economically feasible, assist local park departments.
Before you go on, do we want to be a regional coordinator? Is that because that's regional coordinators?
So the
question, you want to be at the table.
Who's it coordinating?
Well, here's an example. You've already said that you want to support and implement the 2006 regional trail plan, basically. The only way that you're going to implement that is if you coordinate with Camas and Battleground and Ridgefield and serve as a coordinator. Because those little guys aren't going to be the main coordinators to implement a countywide trail plan. So in some of these instances, if the county isn't the regional coordinator, then it's going to fall to maybe the city of Vancouver, who's not going to care outside of their borders.
So you see the point, right?
I see the problem as well.
No, I think you're reading too much into it. That the coordinator, we're not going to take over and run anything beyond a county boundaries.
So let's maybe think about the word leading the effort. Let's just get rid of leading the effort.
Thank
okay?
you. Yeah,
and then we'll just forge partnerships.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't have to lead the effort.
Correct. That's perfect.
It just becomes problematic because you've got all these cities and then you've got one person who's dictating where things happen and what the allocation of resources.
Lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Right. And that's not a good idea.
Okay, keep going.
Where appropriate and economically feasible, assist local parks departments, park departments in the conservation, development, and operation of park and recreational facilities of interest to the regional population, such as water access, trail-related recreation, and regional parks or county parks. Cooperate with other public and private agencies as well as with private landowners to conserve land and resources necessary to provide high-quality, convenient park and recreation facilities.
And I would change that one to conserve and acquire, and that, I think, would cover my comments way back at the beginning.
Where is that?
Conserve and acquire.
Conserve and acquire. Conserve and acquire. Conserve and acquire. Right here. Conserve and acquire.
D, second one. Mm-hmm. Or actually, first one on D.
Yep.
Okay, E, coordinate with utility providers for scheduling maintenance along trail corridors to ensure user notification of disruptions and anticipate opportunities for trail improvements. And lastly, promote public-private partnerships in development, implementation, operation, and maintenance of trail projects. And then,
why does that have to be specifically trail projects? Why don't we just maintenance of projects? It could be park projects too.
Absolutely.
True. I guess the thought there was that most of the time when you're talking about utility easements, you're talking about linear areas, but it could be any.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Because we're.
What's that?
Where are we?
On B. Which one? I suggested take out
under
regional.
Under B.
Serve as a coordinator.
As opposed to a regional coordinator? Is regional a problem for everybody?
No.
No, but actually, I tend to agree because you won't always be a regional coordinator.
Right.
Sometimes you might be coordinating in East County alone, for example. So I'd say, ditch the region.
And 10, reflect the vision of the community we serve. A, provide technical assistance or facilitate the formation of local park and recreation service areas, park and recreation service districts, or metropolitan park districts, where appropriate, to implement the recommendation of adopted community plans. B, engage Clark County residents in the planning, stewardship, and programming of the park system, and provide effective community outreach and marketing to increase public awareness in support of recreation services. C, provide unique and innovative facilities to draw users from throughout the county and extended region and establish an identity for Clark County Parks. And lastly, promote Clark County as a recreation and tourist destination, marketing the region's system of open spaces and natural resources as an economic driver and asset.
We amended that one, by the way.
Added sports facilities.
Parks, trail, special facilities in front of open spaces.
Nice. Not just about open spaces.
Just add. Mm-hmm.
I think we made a good start at this. We're running out of time. I hope we can go back and look specifically at goal 10 because I think there's a lot there that we need to address. But we'll look at all of them over the future.
Yeah, I'll rewrite these in the remaining period of time the way that we barely captured most of it. But we'll go over things.
I appreciate the time. We're running out of time here. We were supposed to have a little. You might just give me 2 minutes of what what happened to the storm this week in the park system so we know what we're up against.
We also are not getting to our go around as a group.
We're going, I'm doing that next.
Okay.
So real briefly, of course, the big windstorm that we had on Tuesday resulted in a lot of trees down throughout all of our parks within our neighborhood. I haven't gotten a full count of trees that have actually been toppled or snapped off, but it's in the neighborhood of about 75 trees. So, and of course, that doesn't count all the debris that's been blown all over the place. Even Jeff, who's just leaving us now, was next to the Schaefer property, and a big fir tree missed his house by 5 feet. And they said they didn't get a lick of sleep all night long. So, it was fairly dangerous out there. I know a lot of people lost power. And I was up on Mill Glen on that Tuesday, and it was treacherous. There was law enforcement was out, fire trucks, and there was trees across roads, and they were out there bucking them up. We lost, as far as infrastructure loss, at Simon Creek Park, we lost a big oak, which was very surprising to me. Inside the developed park, it came down, pushed the table, and pushed the pad underneath the table. So it's a complete loss there. Fortunately, we did not lose any shelters in years past. We've had trees that come down and just cut shelters in half. And so that's a big repair. So we've actually gotten up pretty lucky. Most of the trees have been cleaned up. So we're doing well.
Is there anything in the system for relief on this to help you clean up or what?
No. It's staff, offender crews, and volunteers.
They're not seeing this as a disaster or anything?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Okay, anything else?
That's it.
Let's go around the room real quick. Jennifer?
I have a question around Chinook Park. Went to go visit that. That's the new park that we just hit. There are bollards in the roadway that keep you from going into the roundabout. Is that just temporary through construction?
No. No, that's the emergency vehicles only.
That's sad. How come we chose that? Because our original design was that so a couple cars could park there, but not
many,
so that people could bring their equipment in. We thought about having the community garden. So how come we did that?
No, I can tell you because I was intimately involved in this.
Yeah.
And we would have loved it at the parking. And I can tell you that the two individuals that live right there at that boulder head where the things are in, I don't know if you've heard anything about this or not, Bill. They have intentionally pulled their car out and parked it at an angle to take up, to discourage any of us that have to drive there from parking. So we'd love to have that area for parking. But it is distinctly for emergency vehicles to get in there.
It is. And if those bollards would be pulled, then anybody can actually drive to the park because there's no barriers there. And so it was intentionally designed that way. So it's for emergency access.
And along those lines,
the
four...
Well,
no, because it's a neighborhood. There's a neighborhood.
I'm pretty sure.
Only because I've asked these questions.
Yeah.
It's a neighborhood park. Obviously, I only live a few blocks from it. And so you're supposed to have four parking spots close to, and they're considered on both ends of it.
Let's keep going. Well, it sounds like there's some discussion to be
had. Yeah, I can chat with you
new
about
stuff
that.
Happens. Chris. John?
Nothing.
Chris?
I'm good.
Barbara?
I'm good.
Good to have you here. Adam?
Yep. Okay, one just reminder, December 13th, you should do your homework, read the 5th. Piece, PIP 101 in your books, if you haven't already, so that you have some, it's only 2 pages, you have some familiarity with what we're going to talk about with the whole level of service, standards, and all that sort of thing. You will get documents ahead of time, probably a week ahead of time, technical document and an executive summary, so that you can start to digest it, and then with your presentation, it's going to be a longer session.
Yeah,
sure.
4.5 hours, I believe.
Yes. So we'll beat this subject to death.
Yep.
You'll know it really
well. We're looking forward to it, James.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll keep pushing that comp plan.
Congratulations, buddy.
Absolutely. Good work, everybody.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good to see you. It's always a pleasure.
I'll have this.
We'll be with you in spirit.
Yeah.
Be safe.
I have the three people that stood up.
I said representative of
a friend or family. doing it in words, so we can...